Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight, and it's Friday, March 21st, 2014. Now, tonight we're going to talk about government surveillance, government murder, and government pedophile rings. But first, we're going to start at the very top. Who's in control? Well, the person who was one of the co-founders of the Occupy movement is calling on Obama to appoint Eric Schmidt, CEO of Google, as CEO of America. She says, appoint Eric Schmidt as CEO of America. This is Justine Tunney, who's now a software engineer at Google, put up a petition which currently only has two signatures. Contrast that to the Occupy petition, which had 195,000. But she wants to do basically three things. Retire all government employees with full pensions, transfer administrative authority to the tech sector, and appoint Eric Schmidt as CEO of America. Well, actually, he's really, I guess you could call him, part of the board of directors. But this is what she says. It never ceases to amaze me how far people have to stretch in order to denounce the one corporation that gives away everything for free. Well, actually, they're not. You're their product. They're selling you. They're selling your private life, your private details to the highest bidder. We need to understand how this works. We've got someone here who founded Occupy, of course, and yet we've seen this in Russia, for example, where Lenin was put on a train with $10 million and sent to start the communist revolution by a German central banker whose brother was starting the Federal Reserve in the U.S. with J.P. Morgan. That's the way they roll. If they can't take over a movement at the very top, then they're ready to do something else. And we see this story coming out of Washington's blog. Did the U.S. deploy snipers against the peaceful Occupy protesters? Truthdig reported last year, did the FBI ignore or even abet a plot to assassinate Occupy Houston? A FOIA request filed by Washington, D.C.-based Partnership for Civil Justice Fund yielded an FBI document that contained knowledge of a plot by an unnamed group or individual to kill leaders of the Houston chapter of the nonviolent Occupy Wall Street movement. They said they were planning to engage in sniper attacks against protesters in Houston if deemed necessary. So the question is this something the FBI was going to do, or did they just ignore it and do nothing about it? Now, as Andrew Napolitano has pointed out, he pointed out back in 2011, he said over the past 10 years, there had been 17 plots to kill Americans that had been solved by the FBI, and they all had one thing in common, of course. They were all planned, plotted, controlled, and carried out by the federal government. So if this wasn't carried out, it may be because they didn't need to. Maybe the Occupy movement, like so many other movements, had someone at the top who was looking after the government or the corporatocracy's interests. Now, we learned today that they actually can pull the trigger and they can get away with it. We've seen the FBI involved in 150 shooting cases, never convicted once. And today, the agents who shot Ibrahim Todashev have been given a clear signal. FBI agents cleared in fatal shooting of Ibrahim Todashev. The FBI and a Florida prosecutor have cleared a Boston FBI agent in the fatal shooting of a friend of Tamerlan Tsarnaev last year in Orlando. Now, if you remember, he was picked up by the FBI. He told his friends and family, they're going to kill me. And they did. They shot him six times, once in the back of the head, execution style. The FBI has not released its finding, they say in the article, because they're still being reviewed by the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. The division is expected to concur, though, with the FBI's finding that the agent committed no wrongdoing. Now, Hassam Shilby of CARE said the FBI's failure to prosecute even a single agent in its history for killing a civilian doesn't help its credibility. That's what I was talking about earlier. 150 cases, not one time have they ever found themselves guilty. Of course, the FBI investigates the FBI. They don't see any wrongdoing there. And he points out the FBI did a great job of making sure that all of his closest friends were out of the country before they released this report. Now, we see the fruits of where our government is headed with the surveillance state. Now, yesterday we just reported on how the LA Police Department was looking at license plate data and justified that. This was revealed in a Freedom of Information request. Justified that by saying that every license plate, every car in California was part of a criminal investigation. Now today it gets even worse, because now today we see that there's a Navy database that is looking at civilian information, tracking civilians, part of the Naval Criminal Investigative Service. But they're not investigating things that have to do with the Navy or the military. They're investigating civilians. A parking ticket, a traffic citation, or an involvement in a minor fender bender are enough to get a person's name and other personal information logged into a massive, obscure federal database run by the U.S. military. Now, the Washington Examiner got a hold of a guy who teaches military law at Yale Law School, and he's also a member of the Defense Department's Legal Policy Board. They had him review this, and he was absolutely appalled. This is what he said. Clearly, it cannot be right that any part of the Navy is collecting traffic citation information. This sounds like something from a third world country. Yes, it does. We're becoming a banana republic with nuclear weapons. He said it sounds like it's coming from a third world country where you have powerful military intelligence watching everybody. We're starting to get the picture, aren't we? Some people are. Not enough of us are waking up to see where this picture is leading. Now, remember, it was Madison, I believe, that said that the means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. This is what we're seeing. If we ignore the consequences of a standing army, we see that the police are being militarized. We see that the military, like this, is being used as police. And it's not just the cops on the street. This is part of a comprehensive plan, part of an intelligence operation that's going on against the American citizens. Now, there's one more aspect to this story. They said that there was background checks for gun sales and applications are not a part of this. Well, why would they bring that up? Well, because we all know that registration is a precursor to confiscation. We all know that the people that they're really looking for are not people with parking tickets. They're people with gun permits, with gun registrations. And this also is an interesting connection here. This Naval Criminal Investigation System, the guy who is now the head of it, is someone that Barack Obama twice tried to get appointed as head of the BATF and did not succeed in doing that. But now he is head of this organization. Now he's head of the Navy. And as head of the Navy's criminal investigation, they're now tracking civilian information. You also see an NSA employee today bragging about how cool it is and awesome it is to spy on innocent people. Sounds like a very arrogant, trendy teenager. Listen to this quote here. He says, so SIGINT is just downright cool. It's one of the coolest things about how much data we have at our fingertips, and it's like only collected data that we wanted. Yeah, we can fill out the requirements. This is a whole world of possibilities. Steve Watson points out in this article, he said, the arrogant tone of the Post, which even come complete with current mood emoticons, reads like a teenage hacker operating in his mom's basement. One Post is signed off with, current mood, devious, while another one states, current mood, scheming. The writer frequently uses common internet slang like pwn, skills, zmog, and internets. You know what? This guy is just like the idiots that they used in the concentration camps, the collaborators who would round up their fellow prisoners and thought that they were somehow above them. They were still in prison, and they were going to be executed eventually like the rest of the people. Now, how do we roll this back? Yesterday we played Rand Paul, and he is broadening this out. It's not a left-right issue. We can have a discussion about what the proper role of government and society is on things like the economy, but we're not ever going to be there if we're living in a police surveillance state. That's something where the left and right have to come together. If we don't roll this back, there isn't going to be any discussion about how we're going to have the government run or how we're going, what we're going to do in our private lives. That will all be gone. So the left and right have to come together to fight for liberty before it is completely shut down. And we have a massive infrastructure that is already in place, already working. And so Rand Paul came out yesterday. We played his speech last night. And so today, a person who speaks for that left-right paradigm, who tries to keep people on the racial plantation, Reverend Al Sharpton, came out and criticized him for saying that he was getting on to racial issues. MSNBC host Al Sharpton, who brings up race at every opportunity, wanted to know where U.S. Senator Rand Paul got off talking about racial issues. That's right. Let's ignore the hypocrisy of using race to try to keep people on this left-right paradigm. And at the same time, we see that the Senate now says that they have the votes set up to define what a journalist is. They're going to go into a protection racket mode here. I guess they believe that they can the mainstream media will shut up about this as long as they think they're going to get some special privileges. It's just a protection racket. And these guys are just gangsters and thugs, just like we played last night with the Ukrainian free speech minister beating up the Ukrainian TV CEO and forcing him to resign. These guys are nothing but gangsters, just a protection racket, just like the mafia runs. And what they want to do is they want to get the mainstream journalists to sign on this saying that they're going to give them some kind of special protection. New York Democrat Senator Chuck Schumer said today the Senate has the votes to pass a bill that will protect corporate journalists from court-issued demands to reveal their sources. And the law will protect, quote, covered journalists to be defined as those who are employees, independent contractors, or agents of an entity that disseminates news or information, according to the AP. So, and if this is passed, citizen journalists, bloggers, people who still have First Amendment rights will be shut down. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to shut down citizen journalism because they can control the professional corporate media. We're going to be right back. We're not controlled. We're going to give you some information now about pedophile rings that are operating in governments all over the world right after this break. Stay tuned.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com. Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Welcome back. Now, as I pointed out in the first segment, we had a law professor who is deeply disturbed that the U.S. Navy Criminal Investigation Unit is looking at civilian license plates. He said, it looks like something out of a banana republic. It's worse than that. It's worse than a banana republic with nuclear arms. We have a deeply evil government here, and I want you to see what's happening. We've just had in the last couple of days some stories that bring up yet again the issue of pedophile rings operating in governments across the world. We had a protester crash a live BBC broadcast to warn of pedophile rings. Now, he had confronted the Deputy Prime Minister, Nick Clegg, and he said, 4 years ago, I asked you what you were doing about institutional pedophile rings operating in the country. Your reply to me, Nick, was, I don't know what you mean about institutional pedophile rings. Do you understand what I'm talking about 4 years ago? At that point, the Deputy Prime Minister ran off. The BBC was there, and they were left to awkwardly explain why they didn't have an interview with Nick Clegg. And then at that point, the man got in front of the TV camera and brought the same thing up before they cut him off again. But this is something that's been going on for quite some time. If you remember back in October of 2013, information was released about Jimmy Savile's pedophile escapades. This is a TV presenter in England who over decades had molested hundreds of children. And they brought up the fact that there was a royal cover-up involved in this. He had a lot of ties to the royal family. And they saw in 2013 that a 2009 police report had been heavily redacted, and they could see a few months ago when they reported this, what had been redacted, the connections to the royal family. And there were quite a few. He told officers the first time he visited a Surrey school where he was said to have abused girls, he was there with Princess Alexandra for a garden party. He said, "Princess Alex is a patron of a hostel for girls in care. At this place, I'm a cross between a long-term boyfriend and a fixer of special trips out." And there were not just those connections. There were connections to all the members of the royal family. But it's not just the UK. It's also the UN. Take a look at this story from 2007 that was on InfoWars. This was written by Steve Watson at the time. He said, "The London Telegraph had pointed out that more than 20 different cases of child sex slavery involving UN staff had been reported in southern Sudan. The Telegraph reports that it had learned of dozens of victims' accounts claiming that some peacekeeping and civilian staff based in the town were regularly picking up young children and their UN vehicles, forcing them to have sex. The Telegraph states that it's thought that hundreds of children may have been abused." And then, of course, there was also a report in that same article back in 2003. The AP reported that UN officials were identified as using a ship chartered for peacekeepers in order to traffic young girls from Thailand to East Timor as prostitutes. And the same year, it was also revealed that other UN staff were guilty of raping women on a systematic scale in Sierra Leone. And previous to this, the previous year, 2002, a massive pedophilia scandal within the UN was uncovered involving sexual abuse against West African refugee children in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and other countries. The UPI reported that senior UN officials knew of the widespread pedophilia, and not only did they not take any action, but they covered up the atrocities. This is what we saw happen in the UK. It was brought to the attention of Scotland Yard several times, and those who were high up in Scotland Yard stopped it. The BBC started to have a report that was done by some reporters. The people in charge of the BBC stopped the report. That's what's happening in all these cases. It's at the highest levels. People lower down will see what's happening. They'll start to report it, but the higher ups will take it down. Now look at this report from 2006. Dyncorp and Halliburton sex slave scandal won't go away. This was in 2005, and McKinney grilled Secretary Rumsfeld and General Myers on the scandal. She said, "I watched President Bush deliver a moving speech at the UN in September 2003, where he mentioned the crisis of sex trade." And he wasn't necessarily talking about the UN sex trade. He was talking about other people in the sex trade. It was okay, I guess, if the UN did it. But she said, "The president called for punishment of those involved in the horrible business. At the moment of that speech, Dyncorp was exposed for having been involved in the buying and selling of young women and children. While all this was going on, Dyncorp kept the Pentagon contract to administer the smallpox and anthrax vaccines and is now working on a plague vaccine through the Joint Vaccine Acquisition Program. Is it the policy of the U.S. government to reward companies that traffic in women and little girls?" Well, you know what? I guess if it comes to vaccine, who else could you find better for what they're putting in the vaccines than people who are running child pedophile rings? That would be companies that are involved in that. Now, we see back in 2011, we see that there was also a cover-up in Afghanistan where the police there were using drugs and pedophilia. A secret U.S. diplomatic cable released by the whistleblowing organization WikiLeaks, I guess that's why they hate Julian Assange so much, showed that Dyncorp was providing drugs and financed a party for Afghan national police recruits where young boys were used as sex slaves. Now, this is a tradition that had been banned in the by the Taliban, but now it was making a big comeback, just like heroin was making a big comeback after they got the Taliban out. It involves forcing small boys dressed in women's clothing to dance in front of howling men, and after the dancing, the boys are auctioned off to the highest bidder to be raped. The U.S. State Department recently referred to the practice as, quote, widespread, culturally sanctioned form of male rape. And according to human rights organizations and various media reports, Dyncorp hosted just such an event at a party. So there you go. Now, talking of parties, this is the other article that came out this week. Bill Clinton has been seen in a lawsuit to have been attending regularly parties or orgies at the Caribbean compound of a known pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. A new lawsuit has revealed how Bill Clinton took multiple trips to Epstein's private island where he kept young women as sex slaves. Clinton was also apparently friends with a woman who collected naked pictures of underage girls for Epstein to choose from. And Clinton didn't cut his ties with her. In fact, he invited her to Chelsea Clinton's wedding, one of about 400 guests. And also, we see that hosts of famous friends, including, here's the royal family again, Prince Andrew, stayed at the New York mansion of this pedophile even after his arrest. Now, there was an interesting quote in this lawsuit, and this came from somebody who was an unidentified woman in the lawsuit. She said, "I remember asking Jeffrey Epstein, what's Bill Clinton doing here? And he laughed it off and said, he owes me a favor." And at least one woman on the compound was there unwillingly, said she was forced to live as one of his underage sex slaves for years and forced to have sex with politicians. Oh, what politicians would that be? Businessmen, royalty, academicians, etc. Okay, so that's what we see happening. Now, this is something that's been going on for a long time, of course. Bill Clinton had a long history of sexual assaults. We've talked to Kathleen Willey, and she said Hillary Clinton was attacking all of these women, as we all know, and she pointed out that Hillary Clinton was actually the war on women, that it's not the Republican Party that's at a war with women, but it was Hillary Clinton because she's covering up these sorts of things. She didn't just cover them up, though, for her husband. She covered up sexual assaults for her diplomats when she was Secretary of State. Look at this article. This is from 2013. Hillary's sorry state of affairs. State Department whistleblower has accused high-ranking staff of a massive cover-up, including keeping a lid on findings that members of then-Secretary Hillary Clinton's security detail and the Belgian ambassador solicited prostitutes. A chief investigator for the agency's inspector general wrote a memo outlining 8 cases that were derailed by senior officials, including, in at least one instance, interference by Clinton's chief of staff, Cheryl Mills. Among the bombshell findings, they found that a DS agent was called off a case against U.S. Ambassador to Belgium, Howard Gutman, over claims that he solicited prostitutes, including minors. And the agent began his investigation and had determined that the ambassador routinely ditched his protective security detail in order to solicit sexual favors from both prostitutes and minor children. The ambassador's protective detail and the embassy's surveillance detection team were well aware of the behavior. Now, finally, let's take a look at one last case. This is written up, this article is from 2010. And this is actually a case that started in the 1990s, came to light in 2002. This is a Portuguese pedophile ring that used state-run orphanages to serve celebrities, diplomats, and politicians. The same group we see in the UK, same group we see in America. They said a Portuguese court sentenced 6 people up to 18 years in jail for abusing children from a state orphanage in a marathon court case that has shocked the nation. The defendants included a well-known television presenter, a former diplomat, and 2 doctors, given prison sentences from just under 6 years to 18 years for their participation in a network of abuse. There were 32 children that were residents of a home that was part of a network of institutions. So the point is, when are we going to wake up to this? We saw at South by Southwest, as Jakari was talking to someone about gun control, the guy said, yeah, okay, guns, it can be a problem if you've got a dictatorship and all the guns are in the hands of bad people, but this is America. That is very naive. If you're not worried about the surveillance state, if you're not worried about a government that wants all the weapons and is accumulating them at an unprecedented in history level, if you're not concerned about that, you should be. And you should be very concerned about how deeply evil these people are and how this is a global problem. This is not something from the UK, the UN, the US. It's not even the Democrats or the Republicans. We see Rumsfeld. We see that Bush was involved in the Franklin scandal. We see that we have Michael Aquino, who was working with the NSA, a Satanist. He was accused of pedophilia. He was apparently, the allegations were that he was involved in that at the Presidio. The allegations were that the NSA got him out of there. This is the guy who wrote Mind War. Do you see how the CIA, how the NSA, how the government, whether it's Democrats, whether it's Republicans, whether it's the U.S., the U.K., the U.N., they're all involved in this. They're all doing the same thing. It attracts the same type of person. Dark, satanic individuals want this kind of power over us, and we must not let them have it. Well, that's it for this part of the news. Please consider supporting our operation. Become a subscriber to Prison Planet TV. You can share that with up to 10 other people at the same time. It's a great way to pass on the information. Now, we'll be back on Monday at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. But stay tuned. We've got a couple reports, one from Leanne McAdoo. She's going to talk about medical conspiracies, fact or fiction. And we also have a report from Jakari Jackson. Why are chewing gum sales in free fall? Stay tuned.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield, Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Many anthropologists and archaeologists believe that before man even discovered the power to harness and use fire, we were involved in agrarian activities. That is, taking the seeds of plants and then replanting them to produce more. The very foundation of our modern civilization and human culture is centered around the planting and cultivation of edible plants.
Here are some of the amazing deals at InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
The Survival Seed Vault by My Patriot Supply features only the finest survival heirloom seeds for a robust and hardy garden, even in the toughest times. We also have starter varieties of the deluxe seed packages for fruit, salad, salsa, peppers, medical herbs, and more.
Go to the InfoWars Seed Center at InfoWarsShop.com.
And remember, the revolution against tyranny is growing.
U.S. gum sales are down. Now, there are many theories as to what causes this, but the Associated Press reports an 11% drop in the past 4 years. The commenters on the article are convinced, at least in part, that the decrease in sales is due to aspartame. Aspartame, the artificial sweetener made from the bacteria poop of genetically modified organisms. I am not making this up. Let's take a look at some of these comments. Aspartame in most all gum is poisonous. Other similar sweeteners with different names are just as poisonous. How about we try using cane sugar for gum like back in the 70s? Aspartame and other artificial sweeteners slash ingredients are the problem. The decline is related to aspartame. It's very difficult to find gum without it. And it goes on from there. Back in 2010, InfoWars interviewed Dr. Russell Blaylock on a myriad of topics, but here's what he had to say about aspartame.
If we start looking at some of the other things that are being done in this society, for instance, use of aspartame, widespread use of aspartame, which is also proven to be a brain toxin, without any question. It's also linked to an increased incidence of cancer. To any reasonable objective mind, these studies prove it. And so when they were doing the first approval of aspartame, when it was made by G.D. Searle Company, they told G.D. Searle, do some experiments and present them to the FDA and we'll see about approval. Well, they did the experiments and studies on mice, and they presented to G.D. Searle. And a board of scientists, which included neuroscientists, said, well, we don't think this should be approved because there's a very high incidence of brain tumors.
And just as a note, the pitch man for G.D. Searle at the time of aspartame's approval was Donald Rumsfeld, who went on to become our former defense secretary. If you'd like to find out where else you can find aspartame, check out Food, The Ultimate Secret Exposed. You can find more reports at InfoWars.com.
Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
About half of American adults believe in at least one medical conspiracy theory, according to a new survey. The study titled Medical Conspiracy Theories and Health Behaviors in the United States said many people believe in conspiracy theories since they are easier to understand than the complex medical information. In other words, your feeble mind can't grasp science. So let's take a look at these crazy conspiracy theories participants were asked about and separate fact from fiction. Did the CIA infect a large portion of African Americans with the AIDS virus? While there's no evidence to prove or debunk this particular theory, I wouldn't put it past the spy agency considering the fact that the U.S. Public Health Service did inject African American men with syphilis during the infamous Tuskegee syphilis experiment. The clinical study started in 1932, and for the next 40 years, African American men who thought they were receiving free health care from the government were actually being injected with syphilis in order to study the natural progression of the disease if left untreated. The men all subsequently died from syphilis, and their families were never told that they could have been treated. Also a fact, the FDA helped to cover for pharmaceutical companies that knowingly sold millions of dollars worth of contaminated medicine to other countries in the mid-80s, although they knew that it was tainted with AIDS.
Internal documents show that after this company positively, absolutely knew that they had a medication that was infected with the AIDS virus, they took the product off the market in the U.S. and then they dumped it in France, Europe, Asia, and Latin America. The medicine's called Factor VIII. It was an injection medicine that was used for hemophiliacs, mostly children. Children had been born with an incurable disease.
Hold on, Mike. So you're telling me that Bayer knew that this drug was infected with the AIDS virus. They yanked it from the market in America, and then they dumped it in markets overseas?
They had to figure out a way, Joe, to make a profit on a product that they could not sell in America.
Doctors and government still want to vaccinate children, even though they know these vaccines cause autism and other psychological disorders.
After he got the shot, he got violently ill. Lori Webb says her son, 19-year-old Chandler Webb, was the picture of perfect health. However, the day after his first ever flu shot, he became very ill and was in a coma within 24 hours. Chandler's family ultimately elected to take him off life support, and he died after 28 days in the hospital.
It's 50 to 70% effective against it. If you do get the flu, it'll be a lot less severe.
19-year-old Olivia Mailer and her sister, 20-year-old Madeline. They're suing the makers of the HPV vaccine, claiming the drug caused their early infertility. Constance Couch was just 9 years old when her life was drastically altered after taking Gardasil.
And I had to learn how to walk again.
When we look at vaccinations, this country vaccinates children at a rate higher than anywhere in the entire world. They get something like 46 different antigen exposures before they start school. They're getting 26 to 30 by age one. I've made the case in a number of articles I've published in peer-reviewed journal that this is very harmful to the brain. I've outlined the mechanism by which it does it. And yet the policy continues, and every day we see the federal government pushing more vaccinations in collusion with the pharmaceutical companies that are making high profits off of it. International organizations are pushing it. And you have to ask why. There's only two choices you have in this debate. Either they're incredibly stupid and incompetent, are criminal, or they're doing it on purpose for a reason, which goes back to the Rockefeller design of human engineering.
And look at the polio vaccine. The CDC admitted that up to 30 million Americans could have received a polio vaccine contaminated with SV40, a virus that can lead to cancer in humans. In this shocking footage, a top Merck vaccine scientist openly admits the presence of deadly SV40 in polio vaccines.
Tell me how you found SV40 in the polio vaccine.
Well, that was a Merck thing. Okay. Yeah, I came to Merck, and I was going to develop vaccines. Mm-hmm. And we had wild viruses in those days. Remember the wild monkey kidney viruses and so forth? And I finally, after 6 months, gave up. I said that you cannot develop vaccines with these damn monkeys. We're finished. And if I can't do something about it, I'm going to quit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. He said, you go ahead, get your monkeys out of West Africa, get the African green, bring them into Madrid, unload them there. There are no other traffic through there for animals. Fly them into Philadelphia, pick them up. So I brought African greens, and I didn't know we were importing AIDS virus at the time.
And it was you who introduced AIDS virus to the country.
No, that's right. But yellow fever vaccine had leukemia virus in it, and, this is in the days of very crude science. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I said, I have a feeling in my bones that this virus is different. I don't know why to tell you this, but I've been around biology a long time. I just think this virus may have some long-term effects. Mm-hmm. And he said, what? I said, well, cancer.
I love it. Go ahead.
The jokes that were going around was, gee, we would win the Olympics because the Russians would all be loaded down with tumors. This is where the vaccine was being tested. This was right. So,
are U.S. regulators preventing people from getting natural cures? Apparently, the big government, big pharma cabal in Washington would have you believe that drug makers only have your best interests in mind, not their profits or power. Covering for Bayer after the company sold AIDS-laden drugs to other countries is just one shocking piece of evidence that the FDA is Big Pharma's lapdog. According to the FDA's legal definition, a drug is anything that diagnoses, cures, mitigates, treats, or prevents a disease. What is not explicitly permitted as a medicine by the FDA's totalitarian legal regulatory control is implicitly forbidden. So how does a drug company get FDA approval? Well, they buy them off. Congressional passage of the Prescription Drug User Fee Act in 1992 basically allows drug companies to purchase approval for drugs from the FDA through drug application user fees. The average out-of-pocket cost for obtaining a new drug approval is $802 million.
Cancer rates have remained unchanged. After $25 billion of cholesterol-lowering statin drugs a year, the heart disease rates are unchanged. And yet, while we let the MDs direct our health care, arthritis increases, high blood pressure increases, fibromyalgia increases, Alzheimer's rises from obscurity to the sixth leading cause of death, and one out of 80 kids now are born autistic. And we give the MDs a pass.
So what is approved by the FDA? Well, in addition to blasting the body with toxic chemicals and radiation, the FDA approves antidepressant Paxil for women suffering from breast cancer, even though Paxil has been linked to causing breast cancer tumors in women. Global dissemination of genetically modified foods by Monsanto is part of a secret program called Agenda 21, launched by the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations to shrink the world's population. First, Agenda 21 is no secret. You can read all about the plan for global control right from the United Nations website. In 1971, the Rockefeller Foundation, together with the Ford Foundation and the World Bank, established the Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research, which runs 16 research centers around the world, most in developing countries, spending some $350 million annually. The focus of CGIAR is the spread of GM crops in the developing world. CGIAR today operates under the umbrella of the World Bank. World Bank aid is administered on the basis of a recipient agreeing to impose population control policies. This is according to a 1974 National Security Council memorandum, NSSM 200. And another tell, while the elite push genetically modified foods on the rest of the world, it's all organic in the White House garden, and even Monsanto's own employees enjoy non-GMO food in the company cafeteria. Public water fluoridation is really just a secret way for chemical companies to dump the dangerous byproducts of phosphate mines into the environment. We know that over 20 studies, many of which come from prestigious organizations like Harvard and are published in federal government journals, have told us how sodium fluoride lowers IQ. The EPA had similar statements on the damage fluoride does to unborn babies. Fluoride readily crosses the placenta. Fluoride exposure to the developing brain, which is more susceptible to injury caused by toxicants than is the mature brain, may possibly lead to damage of a permanent nature. We know that a major head at the National Cancer Institute revealed decades ago that fluoride was causing cancer waves in the United States. We know that at the end of the Second World War, the United States government sent Charles Elliot Perkins to take charge of the vast IG Farben chemical plants in Germany. While there, he was told by German chemists of a scheme to control the population in any given area through mass medication of drinking water using sodium fluoride. This is the same IG Farben that Henry Ford merged assets with in 1928, the same year John D. Rockefeller interlocked his empire with IG Farben in Germany. So tell me again, why are we still fluoridating the water supply? Well, aside from its apparent use of creating a docile and sterile populace, fluoridating the water supply is an ideal environmental solution to a long-standing problem, according to the EPA. In a letter, the Deputy Assistant Administrator for Water at the EPA writes, "By recovering byproduct fluorosilicic acid from fertilizer manufacturing, water and air pollution are minimized, and water utilities have a low-cost source of fluoride available to them." Health officials know cell phones cause cancer, but they don't do anything as corporations won't let them. Cell phones emit a form of electromagnetic field called radio frequency radiation. This radiation exposure has previously been linked to brain tumors, cancer, cardiovascular disease, depression, and other serious illnesses. And after a decade-long $30 million study into cell phones, the World Health Organization found a link between long-term mobile phone use and brain tumors. In fact, the World Health Organization now lists mobile phone use in the same carcinogenic hazard category as lead, engine exhaust, and chloroform. Even cell phone manufacturers suggest users maintain a distance of a half inch or more from their cell phones, but these recommendations are often lost in the small print of user manuals. So don't worry if you're one of those crazy conspiracy theorists. You're not alone. And considering the evidence of just how manipulated the so-called health and safety czars are by power and profit, don't let anyone tell you not to ask questions. What you learn could just save your life.
Speaking of feuds, you have this contentious debate with this gentleman, Alex Jones.
Yes.
I saw this on your show. Tell people who he is.
Well, Piers Morgan is back in the news again, desperately trying to get attention. He's challenging Jeremy Clarkson of Top Gear to a fight for charity. Remember back when Piers Morgan and Buzz Bissinger were talking about how they'd like to invite Alex to a boxing match and then shoot him?
Automatic weapon, much less a handgun. But what do you need a semi-automatic weapon for? The only reason I think you need it is, Pierce, challenge Alex Jones to a boxing match, show up with a semi-automatic that you got legally, and pop him.
I'd love to see that.
Now, Jeremy Clarkson isn't taking Piers Morgan seriously, but Alex Jones is. He had this to say today.
I got serious news to get to in your phone calls. But first off, I want to get into this, and I'm going to have the Nightly News do a piece on this because it is interesting, and then they can get where Buzz Bissinger on the show said he wanted to kill me and that Piers Morgan should kill me, and Piers Morgan said, yes, I want to kill him. So at that point, just like I challenged him to a boxing match on the show before, I said, I challenge you and Buzz Bissinger, who likes to wear female's clothes, that's fine, he can dress as a woman, and we, both of them can actually, because that's about what they are. I'm not knocking women, but as men, they're not very manly, and they can both get in the ring against me, either bare knuckle or with gloves. We can do it in Vegas. I guarantee you pay-per-view, as big as that story was, it would get picked up. It would have millions that would pay on pay-per-view, and we could give the proceeds to charity. You notice they never took the challenge up, and I know he tweeted back at me and stuff about it, basically saying no thanks. You need to accept the challenge, coward. You're washed up. You're out of the United States. Everybody hates you. You're going to do a once-a-month magazine show for CNN, as I predicted they would give you, hiding their mistakes, you know, acting like you're not a total failure, taking a show from 2 million viewers to 300-something thousand. You know, Morgan, I will literally beat the hell out of you and Buzz Bissinger. I tell you what, let's go further. Andy Kaufman would do this. I'll fight the ambassador's daughter who said she wants to kill me, too, on the show. Buzz Bissinger, so two women. I'll fight her, Buzz Bissinger, and you, Morgan. I'm serious. I will go in that ring, and I will demolish all three of you within three rounds. I guarantee you. I will annihilate you within three rounds. Guaranteed, cowards. All three of you. I'm serious. In the ring, I will come in there and stomp the hell out of all of you, including your tart. Because she wants to talk about how she wants me dead and everything. Well, get in the ring with me, you wench. I will take all three of you on. First thing I'll do is punch her in the solar plexus, taking her out. Then I'll go over to Morgan, and I will absolutely start just battering his head with both gloves, and then I'm going to turn on Bissinger. All three of you. All three of you. Come on. Quite a man being able to take on that little brunette. They don't call me McGarrett for nothing, folks. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, is that this guy's a coward. So everybody knows I challenged him to that. Well, now the host of Top Gear that looks just like him in the UK, this is probably a stage publicity stunt, he said, if he dies, he dies. Piers Drago Morgan challenges Jeremy Clarkson after he challenged him to a fight for charity in the ring. And so that's now in the news. It's a 50,000-pound to charity for Piers Morgan and Jeremy Clarkson boxing fight. You know, I think Clarkson will win. You can just look at the look in that guy's eyes and the size of his neck compared to Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is a complete ninny. And unless the thing's staged, I think Morgan's going to get his head butt handed to him. So V12 Shots LTD, a company that recently launched a protein drink, the V12 protein shot, has offered to donate 50,000 pounds or about $80,000 to help for Heroes charity in Piers Morgan and Jeremy Clarkson's agree to fight. They've now agreed to fight. Listen, $50 million is what a Piers Morgan Alex Jones fight would raise. Seriously. That was voted in LA Times, Time Magazine, you name it, by voters multiple times. The number one political story of 2013. Can you believe that? The number one viral media event, multiple places, thousands of newspapers, every show out there. Piers Morgan versus Alex Jones. I challenged him to a boxing match right then. $80,000? Really? I guarantee you. I've got the connections. I know Dana White. I know Joe Rogan. I've hung out with Dana White repeatedly. I'll guarantee you I could make phone calls, and I guarantee you they're businessmen. I guarantee you they could get the Vegas match on, and it would be on television and pay-per-view and dominate. It would air on television the next day and be on channels all over the country. But no, Piers Morgan will not allow his career to be destroyed because he knows I will go in that ring and I will beat the living hell out of him. Oh, man, I would love to get in there with him. Just, man, I would love it. So I know you're a coward, Morgan. You, the woman, and the other woman. I'll take on you and the two women. You and Buzz Bissinger and the other woman. That would add to it, maybe we'd make $100 mil. Give it to charity. We could give it to Salvation Army. How's that sound? You probably don't like that. That's a Christian group. In fact, you know what? You're a coward, but let me say this. They'll want to pay for it in Vegas. Let's say a third of it goes to the promoters, everybody, and then what's left, 90% goes to charity. You can have the money. You and the cowards that get in the ring, you can have you can have 6, 7, 8%, whatever it comes out to have, because you're not going to have a career anyways. You've already failed. So what? I'm going to beat you to pieces in the ring. So what? I'm going to totally dominate you. You're already washed up. Get in. Folks, this is real. I'm serious. This is your last hurrah. Morgan, don't be scared. Get in the ring with me. If you know it's all talk, some redneck Texan. Come on, you're going to punch me one time. I'm going to fall over in a fetal position, bud. You know that. You know this is all talk. You know I'm actually deep down scared of getting in the ring with you. So I think the answer is, Morgan, you need to get in the ring with me. Oh, man, I wish you'd get in the ring with me. Oh, man, I would just, I guarantee you, first shot, man, I'd have him half knocked out. I'd get him up against the ropes and just undercut, full power, breaking that jaw. Just full hate power. Just full hate. Excuse me. Anyways. All right. Now I'm now kind of engaged in mental, you know what, on the air. And it is kind of like hatred porn. And I apologize, God, that I'm being like that. I shouldn't have moments of exquisite hatred for the coward, the filth, the enemy redcoat who we've defeated. I just have such a, just a, quite frankly, an unholy lust to defeat the enemy that I shouldn't be like that, and I apologize and repent. But I still will get in the ring with him. We're going to send this video to Piers Morgan. We're going to do a special report tonight on this, showing him saying he wants to kill me. Look, you want to kill me? There's your chance, buddy. Get in the ring with me. Get in the ring. Get in the ring. Get in the ring, coward. You and Buzz Bissinger. I was joking about the woman. Fighting one man and one woman's enough.
And I want to say this right here. You think you're a tough guy? Have me back with a boxing ring in here, and I'll wear red, white, and blue, and you can wear your Jolly Roger.
Globalists have controlled the mainstream media for a long time, but now they're expanding, making the weaponization even more vicious and deceptive. All the major networks are state-run.
We are partnering this year with the NFL.
The NFL has become a political weapon against the Second Amendment and pushes Obamacare. MSNBC tells us that our children belong to the state.
We have to break through our kind of private idea that kids belong to their parents or kids belong to their families and recognize that kids belong to whole communities.
The brainwashing media machine has been turned up on high, and it's time for humanity to double down on the true people's media and strike back against the tyrants that are destroying our civilization with their lies and fraud. We are the resistance. You are the resistance. You are the info war. It is more important than ever to realize that we are not the alternative media. We are the true media. The establishment dinosaur press is dying.
We are in an information war, and we are losing that war.
Join us at InfoWarsNews.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Members can share their memberships with up to 11 people. By subscribing, you will literally be buying war bonds in the info war to expand our operation in the face of the tyrants. Join us at PrisonPlanet.tv.
My friends, we have done it. With Dr. Group's help, we have developed the ultimate male vitality supplement with 8 concentrated super herbs. This is the answer to the globalist war on male vitality with the estrogen mimickers they've added to the food and the water supply. And now our test pilot, our Chuck Yeager, Dr. Edward Group, is here to test his greatest invention. Doctor?
Thank you, Alex. I will now take 2 droppers to test this ultimate male vitality formula.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a momentous moment. Thank you, Dr. Group.
I will activate my muscles by doing push-ups.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is the move. This is unprecedented. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see what happens right now. Oh, my God! What the hell? Wait. Get out of here. Shut this down. This is not safe. This is not... Hold on. Settle down. Get another doctor. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with him. Help him. Ladies and gentlemen, we did not intend for that to happen. I take it personally. Do not have those problems.
Again, these are authorized herbs, well known to be safe. Doctor, wait a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to cut to commercial in just a moment. Cut. Get everybody out of here.
Super male vitality. It's awesome. Just not this awesome.
Oh my God! What the hell? Ladies and gentlemen, the dramatization you've just seen is just that. It is satire to illustrate in a satirical way the incredible power of super male vitality. It will not turn you into Conan the Barbarian, but it will help block some of the estrogen mimickers and reportedly let your glands produce the natural hormones your body needs. It also does have some other side effects in the human testing that we discovered, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to illustrate right now what that is. Let's see if I can do it again. It takes some focus. Up, up, and away!
Start your journey to super male vitality today at InfoWarsLife.com.